is the Homer Hour, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studio at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. Alongside former Packer Brian Bulaga, here's Emmy Award winner Homer.
The best 60 minutes of your day, the Brian Bulaga Homer Hour, because he will be talking for who knows how long with Jason Wilde, and I might interrupt this week. Brian Bulaga, the doctor of football, I believe, well, I can tell you this. Anybody who has a question about Christian Watson's new contract, I'm not signing it if I'm him. There's no way, unless the guaranteed money is way more than $31 million. And I thought that was the guaranteed amount, but I guess it's a signing bonus. I'm gambling on myself. I can do way better than that. Just about any wide receiver of any value in the NFL gets more than $31 million in guaranteed money. But I haven't checked the numbers, and I'm curious what Brian Bulaga would say. Good afternoon. They ask that I ask how you're doing. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine. All right.
Good.
What would you comment on my comment? This is a steal.
I don't think there's any way there's only $31 million out of the $110 million guaranteed of that contract. There's no way. There's no way he would sign that. So I'm with you on that standpoint.
So what do you think it is? 50. We'll ask. Hey, has there anything come out not guaranteed? That stinks. Signing bonus means nothing. There's only one thing that matters, right?
The guarantee, the true guarantee. Yes.
Unless you're getting $1, $1, $1, and then they got to play 4 years to get the guaranteed money. Or
I mean, 31 is obviously part of the guaranteed money, but what's the other part of the guaranteed money? My guess is probably somewhere in the 50 to 60 range would be my guess. And then you look at it, it turns into a 5 year, because he had the year left on his contract. It turns into a 5 year, $124 million deal with the guaranteed money that was this year, which was 14 plus. So around $75 million guarantee is what it turns into.
You think it'll be that much? Okay.
Well, I'm talking about, because this year's salary was guaranteed, right? He signed the 1 year extension for $14 million that was guaranteed. And then if he ends up getting, we'll just say 50 to 60.
Oh, I got it.
Total guaranteed, then it's like 75 total guaranteed over the 5 years. But then obviously if he hits everything, he's going to get closer to the 90.
And then they can bail on him after 3 years, or after two more years of this, if they want.
That's normally the way it works. Again, once the financials come out with it and you see the true breakdown, it'll be interesting to see. But yeah, there's no way Christian Watson took a $110 million contract and only said, yeah, I'm good with 31 of it guaranteed. I mean, there's no way he did that.
Well, we're at 31 plus, you're right, the 14. We're at 45 now, right?
Yep. And then whatever else that contract's going to show.
Right.
Again, my guess, there's another 25 to 30 added on to that.
Right. And that means at 25, then you're talking $70 million if it's 25 for 3 years. They can bail after that. And that's. He doesn't have to be that good to be worth $20 million a year, $25 million in today's NFL.
No, and that's why I think people shouldn't overreact with the numbers on it. I mean, the APY comes out to what, 27 and a quarter or 27 and a half-ish? Even if that is the true APY, right? Like say that is what it is. In 2 years, that's going to look fantastic. That deal will look like a great deal for the Green Bay.
If he gets hurt and is hurt too often, doesn't play that many games, they're not paying that much for the opportunity for him to be much better.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing, and that's the thing that we've seen with him is, yeah, there's been some injuries, but at the same time, when he's been out there, he's been so good. So, like, you look at it, like, okay, we understand the risk, but at 27.5, it ranks inside the top 15 or 16 receivers. It's not like you went out and gave him 35 a year, and now he's sitting inside the top five or top six of the receivers. I mean, obviously, it's a lot of money, don't get me wrong, but everything is relative to what the top echelon of guys are making, right? Like, that's how you have to view everything. And if Christian Watson plays the way he did last year, and even better, at 27.5, you're loving that. That's a phenomenal deal.
Even if he gets hurt some.
Even if he misses, even if he misses the game or two,
right?
Like, even if he misses the game or two, I mean, he comes out and plays like the way he did last year. Okay, 27.5 is a great deal for him. Like, I mean, to get him for that, because you're right. Say he doesn't get this deal, and you know it goes into next year, and then they tag him, and then whatever it is, and then he goes to the market. He's gonna get closer to 30, 32. Would be my guess.
Yeah, tagging him is expensive these days.
Yes, it is. It's very expensive, and his camp knew that, so that's exactly why the 31 is not the total guarantee. It's just not the total guarantee. So, I like the move because I think the upside of his future performances can be fantastic. I think it's a fantastic upside to future performances.
And the downside is so good. There's not much of a risk.
No, there's not. I mean, again, we'll see how this contract's loaded out and how it looks. But like I don't see anything wrong with this deal. I think it's a good deal. Obviously, he gets a nice chunk of change, so it's good for him and for the Packers. They get a really good player at a number that's not top 10 or top 8 wide receiver money.
Yeah.
And to me, that's a fantastic deal.
And there's some of the time that he looks like one of the top. He plays like a top receiver.
Yes. That's exactly what I'm saying. It's that he plays the way he does last year and even improves a little bit. You're looking at that going 27.5, and he's playing that way?
And we're not gambling. I mean, I we'll have to go over the numbers, but the numbers that wide receivers are getting in the NFL is. And also, I would emphasize, the percentage of the big number that is guaranteed is growing in a huge way. It used to be 110, and you get guaranteed 38, 40. 110 meant nothing. Now it's 110, and you get 90. Yep. And that makes the 110 mean a lot more, right?
Correct. I mean, what did Njigba get? 100 guaranteed out of his 130?
Yes, right.
Or something like that? Like, yeah, he's making all 130 of that. They are tied in for about all $130 of that contract. That's just the way that goes.
You were also on before the show started and responding to a comment by Keyshawn Nixon regarding the Chicago Bears. And I just... Well, let's hear it one more time.
Is that good for the rivalry? Do you hate them?
Oh, hold on. Just a second. Stop it for a minute. What prompted something good for the rivalry or what happened that made it good for the rivalry that?
Yeah, I don't know. What'd they say?
What prompted the question? That's the only thing I'm curious.
I have not seen the full correspondence, so I have as much context as you.
And they asked, was it good for the rivalry, right? I think that was... Whatever it was it good for the rivalry? And this is what Keyshawn Nixon said.
We've been worried about other teams, you know. We worry about them now, though. They're definitely a good football team. They coach well. They play hard. But our process is not the Chicago Bears. That's not our Super Bowl. Our process is to win the North first. So the way we do that, we got to beat them anyway. It's just like Detroit and Minnesota. So our division is going to be up for grabs regardless because of the amount of talent that's in our division, just like the NFC West. I think the NFC is just the more loaded side. So the Bears is not like our thought process of the offseason. Like, who cares?
And I agree with everything he said. I mean, he didn't have to say who cares at the end, but he said three really good things about the Bears, and he should have led with, Homer said it best, just win the damn division.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever we do with the Bears doesn't matter if we don't win the damn division. Beating them would help it, but I'm not. Don't ask me about a team. You need to know there's only one goal for this season. And you talked about it. That used to be the start for the Packers. And it was when LaFleur started. They haven't won the division in 4 years. Who? What? Nothing else matters. And as a result, they're playing the their playoffs. Performance has gotten worse. Why? Because when you don't win the division, it's a hell of a lot tougher generally to do well in the playoffs. It's so he just made one mistake. He should have just led with what Homer says and then finished it there. He didn't even have to give me credit. Win the damn division. Next question.
Yeah.
What about the Bears? Win the damn division. What about the Lions? Win the damn division. What about the Vikings? But so I heard your response. I don't have anything wrong against what – and he said – and he made a lot of what I thought were good points. Like he said three really good things about the Bears, which I'm sure he wanted to add so that no one could say, you have to think more about the rivalry or whatever.
I thought everything he said was great. I had no issue with anything that he said, to be honest with you.
And I think he's accurate. That's the other part.
Yes, 100%. I think he's accurate. I think he's spot on. And like I said on KBN before, the thought process was never about we hate Chicago or we hate Minnesota or we hate Detroit. That was never the thought process. The thought process was always they're all treated the same. We played them twice. We beat them all twice. We win the division. Like that's the thought process. Like you respect who they are, and in the NFC North when we were playing, Minnesota would be good and then Chicago would be better the next, but like regardless of the fact, you got to beat them twice. You beat them twice, it's not a big deal. You just you move on and you win the division, and that takes care of everything. Like for Chicago, yes, it has been their Super Bowl, or it felt like a Super Bowl, to beat Green Bay last year twice. Yes, that to them that was monumental, because they've been on the wrong side of this thing forever, right? Like they've been trounced in the Packer Bear rivalry that wasn't, you can't call it a rivalry because it was such a one-way street. One-way traffic, technically. But now, like, getting two wins to win the division and then knock Green Bay out of the playoffs, yeah, it's reignited that, but that can't change the mindset of the guys in the Packers locker room. They just have to look at this as, we understand they've gotten better. They're a better team. They're well coached, just like he said. And, yeah, we're going to have to beat them twice to win the division.
I tell you what I would say in the locker room. This isn't Bears. This isn't Bears-Packers. This is Ben Johnson learning in Detroit that you beat up on LaFleur and he won't do anything. That's what this is. This is Ben Johnson beating up on LaFleur, feeling that's the best thing for his team to do against the Packers for whatever that benefits. Not Bears-Packers. And that's the way Campbell was with everybody. But this is, and Ben Johnson says crazy stuff about the Packers and LaFleur, and he'll keep doing it because he thinks it works against LaFleur. Like, I don't know exactly why he thinks it works, but he knows LaFleur is not gonna go toe-to-toe with that kind of battle. He has a different approach. Accurate or not?
Yeah, but Dan Campbell never went that way. Dan Campbell never would take pop shots like that. Like that's not Dan Campbell to do those types of things that Ben Johnson does. I just think Ben Johnson's
Ben Johnson. He's just being
different.
Him. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. I just think he's a little
I'll
different.
Have to find Campbell stuff because you're right. I don't know that he went as far. I don't have
I don't recall Campbell ever doing that. And I think because of Campbell starting in Detroit and starting so poorly, there's a bit of he's humble, right? Like he saw it at the worst. And then they got better, and he understands the process. Like Ben Johnson jumped into this thing this year. They had success, and he's just firing off from the hip, which great. But eventually, everything comes back around. It normally always does. It always comes back around.
Nobody
way or
wins
another.
All the time.
No, and Detroit was down this year. Like Detroit wasn't the Detroit we've seen of years. Like you put another and Detroit for all intents and purposes, what, they beat Chicago twice last year?
I don't remember. Whatever you say, I'll agree with.
But I think they did. So, like, imagine that, then Detroit playing well against everybody else and being in the race as well. And then you add that third horse to the race, and it becomes a different pressure cooker. And maybe Chicago will be ready for that. Maybe is Chicago going to be the same exact team this year? I don't know. No idea. We're going to find out.
Yeah,
but
we know their schedule is going to be tougher.
Yeah, but that it just doesn't mean Green Bay should be worried about Chicago. They should be worried about all three divisions.
Yeah, you go 0-2 against the Bears and win the division. I'm throwing a party.
Yeah, I mean, nobody cares at that point.
Yep.
Like, it doesn't matter. I mean, I think there's more hype on it from the Chicago side than there is the Green Bay side.
Right.
And I think the fans want it to be more from the Green Bay side, right? I think the fans want a little more fire out of the Packers side from it. But I just don't see the need to do it. I just don't see the need for it.
And I liked what you said about the fans. I know I can't say this publicly if I'm a coach or GM, because I have to act like I care about our fans. I don't give a damn about our fans. I care about winning. We win, take care of business. Our fans are going to love us. If we lose, how are our fans going to feel, Brian?
Oh, yeah, they're going to hate us.
So I'm going to say all the right things to sell tickets and do whatever, but I don't know. Privately, is that the reality of it? Unless you have two people like Forrest Gregg and Mike Ditka that just wanted to fight each other. But I don't know that there's.
Yeah, I mean, maybe there's someone on that team that wants to fight Nixon. I mean, because he always seems to get in.
Right. But you've said this. Winning is hard enough.
Yes. Yeah, winning is hard enough. Now you add the fuel, that fuel to the fire. Then you start doing things out of character.
Right.
Right? Like, and you don't want to do that on.
If I have a GM or a coach who's influenced in any way by the fans, I don't want them.
Yeah. You don't want that. You want them to play with passion. You want to play with fun. Like, you want all that. But to say you hate someone or this game means more than that one, right, because that's what the fans want,
everybody loves Ron Wolf. You know what Ron Wolf did? They're playing in Milwaukee. He says, hey, we'd be better off playing in Green Bay. What did they do? They moved to Green Bay. And now you got some tickets. But, hey, but what are the fans there? Privately, I don't give a damn. I want to win more football games. We're better off playing all the home games. The greatest, arguably greatest GM in Green Bay history, other than Lombardi, his actions told you what he thought.
Correct. Correct. It's just why whenever moves happen on the roster or guys get released or they re-sign guys and the fans hate it or they love it, whatever. There's no influence.
Yeah. Better not be. How would you like your GM to go, Brian, you know, we let you go because the fans don't like you.
Yeah, that would be like, oh, wow.
Or we kept you because the fans like you. Well, I'm happy to be here, but you're an idiot.
Yeah, I'm thank you for that opportunity, but I really hope that's not the only reason.
Yeah, I'm not sure I want to play here if the people are being run by decisions like that. Jason Wilde and Brian Bulaga next.
More of the Homer Hour coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app. It's time for Jason Wilde on the Homer Hour on 94.5 ESPN.
He is three-time. Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year. Thus, he has his own Jason Wilde Yingling Hotline. On with the Doctor of Football, Brian Bulaga. Take it away, Doc.
Jason, good evening. How are you?
I'm great, although not as good as Christian Watson.
Not as good. Let's just get right into that. Yeah, let's just get right into that, because Homer and I were talking about it. Obviously, it's the big story that broke today. 4 years, 110, 31 signing bonus, but that can't be the whole deal. What are you hearing on the actual numbers of that deal? There's no way he signed a contract that only has $31 million guaranteed to it.
Yeah, I would think there's some base salaries that are probably guaranteed for the next 2 years, maybe. But again, I haven't seen the numbers yet. The Packers announced it, which means that the contract has been signed and submitted to the league, which then allows that to get into the system where some of us have access to it. But to your point, as you well know, the Packers don't guarantee a whole heck of a lot traditionally. And so a lot of times it is the signing bonus and not much else that gets guaranteed. I think they did that with McKinney's contract. I think they did that with Jacob's contract. And those were outside free agents that they were trying to lure to Green Bay. And so, you know, they always put in those larger roster bonuses that if the player is playing at a high level, they're happy to convert to a signing bonus and create more cap room. They also, as you well know, are fond of per game active roster bonuses, meaning that they're active for game day, which I still think is kind of a, I'm not a fan of that because it can certainly influence players into trying to play when maybe they shouldn't. Right. But yeah, I don't think that there's a lot of hidden, I'm guessing that there isn't a lot of hidden guaranteed money in this. And that's why I feel like they should feel really good about it. Like, I'm not saying they got, like, the steal of the century, and I understand Packers fans that are a little apprehensive about, you know, the injuries that Christian Watson has dealt with in recent years, but I don't know, man. It strikes me as they will have tied up both of their top wide receivers in him and Jaden Reed at a price tag that is more than manageable.
So what was Jaden Reed's guarantee?
Good question. I don't know. It was, I think it was 20-something. Yeah. I looked that up. But
so that's what I'm saying. There's no way out of $110 million in reported contract. Now, I understand 110. That you know, we all know what that is. But out of that number that only 31 is guaranteed and Jaden Reed got 20-something guaranteed, the math just doesn't math there to me.
I mean, Jaden Reed's contract is also obviously shorter and is for less money than overall, right?
I know, but that's what I mean.
So that's what surprised. Yeah, no, I get it. And that is surprising. Jaden Reed's contract, let me find that. Look, he's $16.5 million signing bonus. So, again, it's worth about half the total amount, and it's worth about half the signing bonus amount, right?
Yeah, if that's the financials of it, again, I don't have them in front of me, so I don't know. But if that comes out to be the case, right, say it is 31 guaranteed out of the 110, but obviously – the base salary for next year will be guaranteed. And I mean, we have to see how it's broken down, but say it is 31 guaranteed or whatever, say it's 40. We'll just round it up. We'll say 40. Everyone should, Russ Ball should be patted on the back for that. That's unbelievable. Like it really is. When you're looking at the receiver contracts that have been given out with the guarantees that have tied along with them at this point. Uh-oh, we lose Jason.
And I didn't even interrupt.
Yeah, that wasn't even your fault.
Yeah.
No, you didn't even do anything. You didn't even do anything wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, well,
keep going.
I was going to say, if that is the case, yeah, Russ Ball needs to be patted on the back for that negotiation job because that's phenomenal that at 110 guaranteed or $110 million contract, that 31 of it is the guaranteed number on it. That's unbelievable.
Because I'm like you, and you alluded to it, but I wouldn't have signed it. I'm not doing that.
I mean, once they pay out the $31 million, they can wash their hands of it.
Well, let's say they give me – the worst case would be that I play this year for 14, right? And then mm-hmm. they can release me.
Well, yeah, they would have essentially gave you a one-year, you know – essentially 1 year, $46 million deal.
Right. But I mean, they could give me the $14 million for this year and then get rid of me, right?
Well, now, not now, because he signed the 4 year extension to it.
Oh no, I mean before the extension.
Yes, correct.
Right,
correct.
So, like, because and he goes, that's not enough. Well, then you're going to play for 14. Yeah, I'll play for 14. Then I'll go wherever the hell I want.
And if you tag me, it's going to cost you around 29-30.
Right, and so then we're I'm not, and you can, I can, you know, then I can go wherever I want. I don't. There isn't enough. As you alluded to, I'm just stealing from you. There isn't enough plus.
Yeah, I
because you're not gonna. If you get hurt all the time, you're not getting the end of this. Come on, right?
Yeah, that's why I got to see the financials.
All right, let's go back. Jason is back. Take it away, Jason.
Yeah, I was still talking for quite a while after that. So, I hate it when that happens. But I think the point I was making was that for the crowd that thinks that they might have gotten fleeced or overpaid a guy that didn't deserve that kind of money.
Lost him again.
Oh, man. Is he in the basement?
I don't know, but we can end it, and you can give credit to Russ Ball if you want. But it isn't about Russ Ball. This is totally about the player. You've lived it.
Yeah, no, that is why, like, I do have a hard time believing that's it. Like, I just have a hard time believing that. Like, it's just 31. Because, like, for a guy that has battled through injuries like he has, and he's come out and played well, especially really well last year, I wouldn't expect him to just take the 31 and say, I'm good with only 31 guaranteed out of this 4 year deal. I have to believe there's more in this contract, which I hope for him, right? Like, it's nothing to do with the team. This is me talking about him. That he's got a little more security blanket than that. That's out of a $110 million contract. Like, I don't think I'm out of line here saying that 31 of it guaranteed it, that seems off.
No, I want to ask you solely as if you were his agent.
Yeah, I would say that 60 of that has to be guaranteed.
Yeah, we're at 45. I want 15 more.
Yeah, like 60 of that has to be guaranteed. Like, because that will for sure tie him in there for no matter what, 3 years.
Yeah, but
like that's. It's the way I look at it.
As you have alluded to, this is a business for a player.
Yes.
And this is trying to be fairly paid based on what else is out there. And if you don't do it, then you take a risk.
Yep. And yeah, I mean, that's the thing with this is like, because I think Christian Watson can perform to the level he did last year and even better, right? Like, I think he can do even better, especially if he stays completely healthy. Like, I think he can easily be a Pro Bowl type wide receiver. Like, I think that's no problem. So if that is all that the deal inquires, yeah, like, that's why I don't believe that's it. Like, I can't bring myself to that. Now, I understand what Jason said. That is how Green Bay normally negotiates deals, but they certainly didn't do that with Micah, and they certainly didn't do that with Jordan, and they're certainly, and I can assure you, they're probably not going to do that with Tucker.
You got
Kraft.
A future as an agent. That's exactly what you would tell them, right?
Yeah, 100%.
You treat my client like garbage. I don't know that you would use that. They'd tell me. Don't listen to Homer. You just need a governor. Calm him down. Just call Bulaga his partner. He'll talk reasonably. But you just say no. That's not enough for me not to take a risk. Come on.
Yeah. I mean, and because like I said, I think Watson's upside is huge for future production.
Somebody, this is what I would tell him, was that, look, Christian, somebody will take a gamble on you. Even with the injuries that you've had, and even if you had some in the future. The upside your ability at your best. I don't got to convince 32 teams. I got to know that there's one out there, and I'm sure there is. Milwaukee Weight Loss started at 229. I'm at 205. I eat less, and I'm happy eating less, and I expect to tell you in 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, 5 years, I'm going to be right where I am now. I could lose a little more, but I get worried if I get too thin. My face looks like I'm a dead man walking. So Milwaukee Weight Loss, they got it figured out. There's nothing special. There's no but. Yeah, you can lose the weight, but. Yeah, you can lose the weight, but you have to. No, there's no but. And for a limited time, you get $200 off of the Milwaukee Weight Loss Summer Special. Book your free consultation now at MilwaukeeWeightLoss.com. That's MilwaukeeWeightLoss.com. Results may vary, but may be slightly different for you than me, but you'll eat less and you're happy eating less, and that means your weight will stay down for a long, long time. MilwaukeeWeightLoss.com, 262-235-3980. Jason Woolley returns. We're sure of it. Next.
The Homer Hour is back after this on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
We will have Jason Woolley, but we have to do a follow-up to my discussion on Milwaukee Weight Loss. A has never said anything about all the times I've talked about Milwaukee Weight Loss. And what did you say?
I said, Homer, I don't know if you say my face looks like a dead man walking, that is going to encourage people.
Okay, that's correct. I didn't explain well. Like, I could lose even more. I've lost 25 pounds. I could lose 10 more. But I don't want to because I think already my face is too thin and I look like dead man walking. Does that clarify it any better? No?
All Jason, right. Thoughts?
You look amazing. Yeah, okay. I didn't think you had that much more weight to lose. I don't have the discipline to do it because I could lose about as much as you currently weigh, probably.
Now, as I said, people told me it's almost easy. It is. You'll eat less and you'll be happy eating less, but I don't want to be your mom. It's your life. All right. Jason Wilde and Brian Bulaga. And Jason,
I don't want you to be my mom either.
Okay, I agree. I know. You don't need another one. That's what I tell the people when they tell me what to do. My mom's dead. I don't need another one. All right. You two can go at it. I don't know. I guess, Brian, we should have Jason, but he doesn't know what he said that we didn't hear.
Yeah, that's a good point.
The beauty of this is I now am being ridiculed in my own home because for some reason, I don't know if somebody crashed into the Verizon pole somewhere near my neighborhood or what, but I'm on a landline now. So if I still lose you, then we know it's all
your landline is pretty good, I wish to state.
You sound great.
Yeah. I didn't even realize that it still was operative. look, this is all about how you see Christian Watson. If you see him as a really good player who has battled injuries and has been playing with a group of wide receivers where they kept saying, well, we don't need a number one. We got everybody can be the number one receiver. Now he is in the number one spot until Matthew Golden, who only caught 29 balls last regular season, shows that he is more. If you're questioning, you know, they're paying based on potential, the guy that they're counting on potential-wise is Golden. We have seen what Christian Watson does when he's healthy. And what he did in the second half of last season, I think, should remove all doubt of what he's capable of if he stays healthy. And frankly, he did stay healthy after he came off the ACL. I mean, he left that game in Denver in an ambulance, but ended up not missing the next week. So I don't see him as someone that they need to be constantly fretting about whether he's going to stay healthy or not. But I think it's a fair concern overall, and that's why he didn't get. I mean, Drake London got $100 million guaranteed.
Yep.
Now, he's had more productive seasons in his 4 years, but he only played 12 games last season, by the way. So I understand why people think that, well, this is risky, but I think when we see the final numbers, we're going to feel the same way we feel about Jaden Reed, which is, if this guy is who we think he is, the Packers got a bargain. And if for some reason one or both these guys have injury issues, I would be willing to bet the structure is such that they can get out of it after 2 years and not be in salary cap hell because of it.
Yeah, I mean, I think if that is what the numbers end up being, what Homer and I were talking about when we were trying to get you to reconnect, Russ Ball needs to be patted on the back. Like, honestly.
Well, and look, I want to emphasize this because, you know, I can't remember if I was telling you this story when you were on with us yesterday or if I was telling it to Tausch earlier. But on Tuesday, I went up to Jaden Reed and I said to him, you know, hey, we got a great relationship. And he's like, yeah, no doubt, he said, which I was like, hey, I appreciate that. And I said, and I've already congratulated you on your new contract. So, yeah, I appreciate that. I said, okay. I wasn't expecting him to interrupt with those two statements, but he did. I said, okay, well, congratulations, because now I'm going to hit you with a real jerkweed of a question. And that is, couldn't you have done better on this contract? Couldn't you have gotten more? And what was great, and this is why I love Jaden and why he and I have such a great working relationship, he's like, yeah, I agree with you. But, and here are the important components of this. One, he missed most of last season with that broken collarbone and the Jones fracture in his foot, and it scared the crap out of him. And so he wanted security, okay? And two, this is where he wants to be. And I think in both cases, like, that's a guy who has been dinged up, right, in other seasons, and then obviously missed a lot of time last year. But he understands the dangers of the NFL, and he wanted some security in case his injury luck isn't good this coming season when he'd be in a contract year. The same for Watson. And I think the Packers, and I used the word this morning when I was saying this to Tausch, I said, I don't want to use the word exploit. And then, of course, he said that I was using the word exploit, which I was clearly trying to say I wasn't going to. But certainly took advantage to some degree of the fact that they've got two guys that want to be here, that think they fit the offense well, and have had injury issues that make them want to make sure they get that first big payday, right? And you can speak to this way better than I can. Like what Davante Adams did when he got franchise tagged, he had at least gotten that first payday in 17, right, at the end of the season. And if you haven't gotten that first payday, and in today's NFL post-2011 CBA where the money is not the same for draftees as it once was, you want to get that big transformative paycheck. And then there's less risk, and you can maybe, like you did, right? I mean, you played out the last year of your second deal with the Packers.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got paid by the Chargers, and they felt very good about how they spent that money on you. But my point is that, you know, those guys, both of them know the risk, and I think they probably will ultimately have taken significantly less than they would have gotten on the open market if they both stayed healthy this season and put up big numbers with fewer guys to feed in the passing game and with more opportunities. And so, and that's not a criticism from me of those two guys, because I'll tell you right now, I'd be that guy. I would want to say, hey, I want to get paid that first time, and yes, will I get less? But that's the trade-off. You get security, but you get less money than your maximum value, and I think ultimately we will look at both of those contracts and see them that way.
Yeah, and like, listen, I understand the mindset. I'm just talking purely based off the opening number of Watson's contract, right? Like, that's the only thing that, like, that's why I'm with you, that I just want to see the structure of it.
Well,
to see how that works out.
And here's the other thing, Brian, and you know this, you know how agents are, right? If there was a ton more guaranteed money in the contract, the agent wants that out there, right?
Oh,
I know.
The agent
wants to leak that to Adam Schefter. So I would also say that that's another kind of breadcrumb for me that maybe there's not a ton more guaranteed money other than maybe a couple of base salaries for 26 and 27 that's in there, because you know that Drake London's agent, who got $141 million over 4 years and $100 million of it is guaranteed, or Alec Pierce, the guy from – I mean, look, I know I watch Christian Watson more than I've seen Alec Pierce, but I've seen enough of Alec Pierce to say he's a nice player, but he was going to market, and so that drove up his price tag. There's no way that he is – so, I mean, he basically got double the guaranteed money, if this number is right. He got $60 million guaranteed, and his deal's like $114 million. So, again, I think the biggest thing that I'm struggling with, other than my phone, is that the crowd that thinks that the Packers overpaid. I really don't believe that to be the case.
I agree. I agree with you. So before we have to go, I did want to hit you on the Micah news of him coming out kind of saying 9 months, no football. So from a timeline standpoint, where does that put him, right? 9 months from what, the surgery day or from, I don't know what day exactly. And what does that entail? Like, he doesn't even get on the field to start practicing until 9 months, or how is he viewing that?
Yeah, that is a great question, Brian, because that's the issue here. And he did not give us clarity on whether or not that's no football at all or no football games. 9 months, no football. That's the rule. That's what he said. Now, you tore your ACL twice. I don't remember them putting that specific of a rule on you. Tell me if I'm wrong.
Nope. Not
wrong. But they also didn't pay you $188 million and trade 2 first-round picks and Kenny Clark to get you, I guess. But
correct.
To me, that means no football at all, no practice. So if that's the case, he had surgery on December 29th. That means the end of that 9 months barred from playing football of any sort would be September 29th. That would mean he has certainly missed the first 3 games. The Packers' home opener is on the 24th of September on Thursday Night Football. I can't imagine that you would go from 0 to 60 and go, no football at all, play on October 4th in Tampa. So yeah, I would say that at minimum, we are looking at him being on the PUP to start the season. Remember, they changed the rule. I learned this from Gabe. They changed the rule this year. You don't have to wait till 4 games to open the practice window. You can actually open the practice window after 2 games, but you still have to sit out at least 4 on the PUP. So I would assume that they would open the practice window right on, you know, September 29th after 3 games, slowly ramp him up, and then have him on a pitch count, ideally, for that Bears game on October 11th, and then able to play a little bit more against his former team, the Cowboys, on October 18th. Now, that all assumes no setbacks. It also assumes, though, because what I thought was the most interesting, and I was talking about this with Maddie's physical therapist today, because he knows so much about PT and everything, and he's worked on Packers players. And what we were talking about with the way people perceive ACLs now, and he was the one who said this, so I got to give Charlie credit. Adrian Peterson ruined it for everybody, right? Because he came back in 6 months, and everybody thought, oh, everybody can do this. And as Charlie pointed out, he then later had other issues injury-wise that probably related to how quickly he came back from the ACL. And I think the what happened here, and the reason why yesterday's statements from Micah got so much attention, is because I think there were people thinking, all right, Adrian Peterson's an athletic freak. Micah Parsons is an athletic freak. Maybe he is ready for the opener. And I think that being taken very clearly off the table was why this got as much attention as it did.
Thanks, Jason.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Go ahead. Yeah. Go ahead.
All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
All right. Brian, go ahead with your last thought before we break.
No, I mean, I think it was always going to be PUP to start. I don't think there was going to be any way that he would start the season. But at the same time, there were no updates or really no, you know, concrete, like, got like timetable, right? Now he comes out and lays it, and I think it gets people a little nervous, but I don't think you should have expected him to be on the field to start the season.
You're not surprised at all?
No, not at all.
All right.
Not at all.
If your air conditioner never seems to turn off, worn-out windows could be the culprit. Upgrade yours now during Window Nation's Buy 4, Get 4 Free sale. Imagine new energy-efficient windows and getting half of them free. Plus, you could even get no money down and no monthly payments or interest for 2 years. And since Window Nation is a proud partner of the Milwaukee Brewers, book a consultation and ask how you could score a pair of Brewers tickets. Ask for Wins Miz Pitching. Sale ends soon, so visit WindowNation.com. Window Nation, proud partner of Wounded Warrior Project. I apologize. I did not start the show appropriately. The start of every show should be telling you Miz is or is not pitching. Miz is not pitching today. The Brewers have already played. They lost 12-9. Is he pitching tomorrow? When is he pitching next? I don't do that because it's hard to know. But I can tell you every day when the show starts, question one will be answered. Is Miz pitching tonight? Next.
More of the Homer Hour coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
To honor the Doctor of Football, Brian Bulaga, with ESPN National in Progress, we'll take another few seconds. Jason on Twitter states, can't possibly know right now today on the contract. That's not how contracts work. Therefore, expected future production. Packers don't play a meaningful game for another 3 months. I know you don't respond on Twitter because if you did, I'd follow it. But you can respond on the Homer Hour. What would you say to Jason's comment?
That we don't know anything about contracts until when?
You can't possibly know right now today. That's not how contracts work. Therefore, expected future production. Don't play a game for 3 more months.
Yeah, I guess I don't understand the comment.
Well,
we shouldn't say
anything about whether it's good or bad. And you're being nice. I said you can compare with other contracts of similar players, as you would.
Yeah, what we're discussing is the guaranteed money in the contract, which we will know in like 2 days.
Yeah.
So that's how we're going to compare it. Like, it has nothing to do with his future production. I've already said on this show, I said it before Jason, I think his future production is going to be very good. That's why we're talking about the guaranteed money in the contract.
And there's always the possibility that it won't, because that's the way it is with any player as far as injuries. But if it doesn't, you don't want to have too much committed. I'll give you an alternative. Jordan Love. He gets hurt. Oh, baby, that's tough.
Because he's still getting paid. A lot.
A lot. Two lots even. Brian Bulaga has earned it. ESPN National, in progress.